from a few years ago. I was with a friend. We were having a cookout, and he asked me to make his hamburger for him. And so I went up and I put everything on it except for the meat, and just to play a little joke on him. And when I gave it to him, he ate it. He took a bite of it. He said that this was the best hamburger that he had ever had. And so we got a little laugh out of that. But it just reminded me of how we can be taken up with all of the extras and really miss the main point and not even realize it sometimes. And I was thinking about that in relationship to Matthew 22. And so if you would, you can turn to Matthew 22. And it reminds, every time I think about this passage in Matthew 22, in thinking about the main part, what is the main thing? And we don't want to get taken up with the extras and just miss the main thing. And another thing I'm reminded of when I turn to this passage of Scripture is when my son Jonathan was 10 years old, I decided to take him on a little camping trip. And I wanted to challenge him spiritually. And I may have shared this story with y'all before. I can't really remember. But bear with me if you've heard it before. But I always think about it when I turn to this passage of Scripture. But I wanted to challenge him with loving God with all of his heart. And so I turned to this passage and read it to him, and we talked about it. We talked about memorizing, how I wanted to memorize Scripture with him. And I said, how many verses you want to memorize? And I said, do you want to just do one verse a week? And he said, no, Dad, I can do more than that. And so I said, well, you want to do two verses? And he said, no, I think I can do more than that. And finally, I had to stop him at four verses, or else I was going to get in over my head. So, but anyway, here after I finished talking to him about loving God and everything, reading from Matthew 22, I was getting ready to pray, and he said, "Wait a minute, Dad, can I share some scripture with you?" And so he turned to the book of Judges, and he read about Ehud and another one of the judges there. And I thanked him. I thought, wow, that was great. You know, here I am, his dad, turning to Matthew, a gospel, one of the gospels, Matthew 22. And he goes to the Old Testament, goes to the little book of Judges, and reads about one of the little judges, Ehud, and one of the other ones. And then after that, if that wasn't enough, I thought he was done. And then he said, wait a minute, Dad, can we turn to the book of Daniel now? So then I wondered, like, who was taking who on this camping trip? But anyway, I think about this passage of Scripture a lot of times when I think about my son and that camping trip. But in Matthew 22, just to think about what's the main thing. And this comes out in this passage. So I want to read verses 34 through 40 of Matthew 22, and I can just put it up on the screen there too. But it says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And thinking about this main thing of loving God with all of our heart, you know, when Jesus was answering his question in verse 37, he made it very clear, which is the first and great commandment, and to love God with all your heart and soul and mind. And someone has determined that there are like 600 commands in the Bible, over 600, and loving God is the first and the great of those commandments. We could even look at in Mark's Gospel, if you want to turn there for just a second. In Mark's Gospel, we could read a little bit how Mark relays this same account. Mark chapter 12, he says it like this, in starting in verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And so the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. There is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." There's no doubt this is the main thing. And you know, it's so easy as believers to get caught up sometimes with things that are not the main thing, and to get sidetracked and miss the main thing. Just like my friend J.W. did with the hamburger. Paul says it like this in Colossians chapter 3. You don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. But Colossians 3 verse 12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," and he tells us the things that he wants us to put on. And these are important things, of course, to put on. To put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And then he says this, after he talks about putting on all these things, in verse 14 he says, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." And so, obviously, this should be our first desire, knowing that it is the first and great commandment, knowing that is above all things, as Paul would say, that we should be concerned about, is this whole idea of loving God, and then, of course, as a result of that, loving others. So I just decided to look through the scripture about what does the Bible say about loving God. And I hope that just this simple study will challenge us to take what is what he calls as the first and the great commandment, and really see what he has to tell us through the scripture. And so here I thought it was interesting to see the number of commands in scripture that he talks about loving him. And you can turn to the book of Deuteronomy if you want to, and look at these in your Bible, because it's obviously anything is significant in the scripture because it's God breathed. It's what he wants us to know. It's what he teaches us and what we learn from him. But when it comes out this many times in Scripture, it's pretty remarkable. He wants us to be, wherever we're reading, whenever we look in the Scripture, we want to be reminded of these things, and especially this most important thing, and to see these different commands. But in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, verse 12, he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then we can look at chapter 11 and verse 1. And there we read, therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always. And then down in the same chapter, in verse number 13, he says, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I give you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then we can go down to verse 22. And he says, for if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to hold fast to Him. There's just so much in these commands. And every time you read these commands, it's like there's some new nuance or characteristic or way that he talks about loving him. And then you could go to chapter 30, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where we find some more of these commands repeated. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 6 says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart, the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And then skip down to verse number 16 in the same chapter, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you go to possess. And then finally, in verse number 20 of that same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, and that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice. Notice this, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Wow, you just can't, you have to be overwhelmed when you begin to see the number of these passages that he brings out with all of these different aspects of what's included in loving God with all of our heart and so on. And of course, you know, we read the passages in Matthew and in Mark as well. But just to think of the commands, so I mean, we could just stop right there and keep reflecting on all of those commands and just be challenged, be constantly challenged about loving God because these are commands. And I know this is under the law, but to think of Him making it very clear to His people of the importance, the first place of loving God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. And of course, Jesus repeating that in answer to that question that we read in Matthew 22 and also in Mark chapter 12. And so all of these commands, all through the Scripture, to love Him with all of our heart. Well, then, have you ever thought about restrictions about these things? You might think about, when you think about restrictions, you might think about your driver license. Some of you may have restrictions on your driver license, like maybe you've got to wear these old corrective lenses in order to drive. It doesn't mean that you can't drive, but it means if you are going to drive legally, you have to wear those corrective lenses. If that's a restriction on your license. And he gives some of what might be considered restrictions, as it were, about loving God. How are we to love Him? And the first thing is that it must be with all of your heart. It must be with all of my heart. And I'll tell you, when you stop to think about really what that means in a practical way, and stop to think about your day, stop to think about where your heart goes throughout the day, stop to think about all the directions that it's pulling at the affections of your heart, of my heart. This is very clear as we read all of those verses, that it must be with all of your heart. You know, he's not satisfied with 99% of our heart. He wants all. He's worthy of all. And to think about the price that he paid to purchase our salvation and to save our souls and to create in us a new heart, a clean heart. He wants all of that heart of love back for him. And of course, he makes that very clear in Matthew's gospel, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And we could look at some examples of this in Joshua chapter 22 in verse number 5. You remember how Israel had battled many enemies as God was leading them into the promised land. And he told them, I'm giving this land to you, it's yours. And all they had to do was go in and in obedience to him and to take the land and so on, and to possess what he had already said that he was going to give them, to take possession of it. But this was the council as Joshua was sending them out to each of their possessions, their portion of the land. In verse number 5 of chapter 22, listen to what he tells them as he sends them out to take possession of their inheritance. He says in verse 5 of Joshua 22, "But take careful heed to do the commandment of the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." I'll tell you what, they must have really taken that to heart, because there were many times when they could look back, even when they were facing different enemies, and they weren't following him with all their heart, and the devastating impact that it had even in their battles at times. But to love them with all of our heart. We can look at the example of Samson. If you want to turn to Judges chapter 16. In Judges chapter 16, I think we have a real good example of this loving God with all of our heart. Because, you know, I believe the enemy wants the same thing. The enemy wants our heart too. And if the enemy can keep us from loving God with all of our heart, that's what he wants. If we love him with all of our heart, the passion with which we will serve him, the passion with which we will obey him, the passion with which we will honor him, bring glory to his name, the enemy does not want that to happen. And he will fight every step of the way to keep us from this most important, this all-important command. And you can see it clearly even when you think about Samson in Judges chapter 16. Look at verse, number 15. And of course, you remember the situation there where Delilah was constantly pestering Samson to share with her the secret of his great strength. And, you know, he would give one answer, and of course that was not the right answer, and they'd tie him with ropes, and he'd break the ropes, and all those things. And we get to verse 15, and she says this. She said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me?" How can you say, "I love you," when your heart is not with me? And I tell you, when I read that, you know, it's easy just to read through that and apply that to Samson's, you know, situation there with Delilah. But you know, when we stop to think about the Lord, He might ask us the same question. How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? And she goes on to say, you have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Notice verse 17. That he told her all of his heart. And he said to her, no razor has come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all of his heart. And so the lords of the Philistines came up and brought the money to her hand. And of course we know the sad ending of Samson's story. And it's so easy to see that if Samson had just loved the Lord with all of his heart, perhaps he wouldn't have shared with her the secret of his great strength, because he would have wanted to remain true to God. He would have wanted to remain faithful, not only just in his heart, but in his actions. And for her to say, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? She was wanting to steal away his heart, to divide his affections between God and her, as it were. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy just does not want us to love God with all of our heart. But that's why God says it has to be with all of our heart. That's the restriction, with all of our heart. And so we can see that very clearly in this example of Samson. And maybe we can look at our own lives. I know I can look at my own life, and I can see times when I failed. And the reason that I failed is because of this very thing. If I had only loved God with all of my heart, instead of being willing to let it go in a different direction, maybe not fully, but at least partially, in another direction rather than to the Lord Himself. Must be with all of our heart. We can see it in the example of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. And if you will turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, we can see that this one as well. And of course, I know we're familiar with the story of Solomon. Remember how David had actually charged Solomon in the very beginning to follow the Lord. He said, with all of your heart. He told him this in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. And then in chapter 3, we're told that Solomon loved the Lord. And then by the time we get to chapter 9 there, that God had challenged Solomon to walk before him in the integrity of his heart, and that he said he will establish his throne and so on. But then we come to chapter 11, and in verse number 1, a very sad word that it starts out in verse 1 is the word but. And all of a sudden, everything has been going so great for Solomon and all. A great king. And then the word but comes in verse 1. And he says, but Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Sidonians and the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. For surely, notice what they will do. This is the reason. or surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. Is he doesn't necessarily want us to just go out and flat out, he'd be glad if we flat out denied, but not to flat out deny, but rather just to turn away. Just to turn away, just to give him a portion of our affections in some other direction other than God. And he says they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And notice that Solomon clung to these in love. You remember those different verses that we read with the commandments and how we are to cling to him. We read a couple of times in there. Clinging to him. And what Solomon did, because his heart was turned away when he had disobeyed in turning to these foreign women and having all these wives, and they did exactly what God had said would happen, to turn away his heart. And Solomon clung to these in love. And it says in verse 3 that he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines. And notice this, and his wives turned away his heart. Before it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And notice this, that his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, and was the heart of his father David. You know, to think of all the wisdom that Solomon had, the enemy is a masterful deceiver. And if he can get a way for us to just distract us in one little area, sometimes that is enough to so trip us up to affect our testimony for the Lord. And his heart was turned away from the Lord. What a sad situation to have this heart that's divided between wanting to serve and to please God and being turned away in another direction. And so the sad result of that is actually down in verse number 9. It says, and so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And notice that the effect of all of the false gods of those foreign women that he had taken as wives. What happened before his openness to looking toward their gods was before he turned to them, he had turned his heart away from the Lord. And that's where the love, that's why it has to be with all of our heart. Because once we turn away, then we're going to turn to something else. And it's not the Lord. It's something other than the Lord once we turn our affection and our attention away from him at that time. And you know, you remember how earlier in Samson's life, God was so pleased with Samson's desire of his heart that he could actually say, ask whatever you... He basically gave him a blank check. Ask what you will, and it'll be given to you. And then, of course, he asked for that wisdom, and because he didn't ask for riches and power and lands and all those things, God blessed him with all those things, along with the wisdom that he had asked for. And to think, you know, it's very sobering to think of that, because we can't rest on our past love for the Lord. Sometimes I look at my own life and I think about not long after I got saved, and, you know, I think about the love that I had for the Lord Jesus Christ in realizing that He graciously just stepped right down into my life. I was not seeking the Lord. I was not seeking spiritual things. I was not seeking anything about the Lord. But graciously, He just stepped right down in my life and saved my soul. And to think of Christ dying for a sinner like me, I just remember the love that I really had for Him back then. I wonder today, do I have the same love? We can't rest on our love from the past, can we? How do we love Him today? Do we love Him with all of our heart? Another one of those restrictions is it must be exclusive. It's got to be an exclusive love for Him. The Scripture talks about other things that can draw away. A love of self is one of those. In 2 Timothy 3:2, he talks about how men should be lovers of themselves. Is that not our natural tendency? My natural tendency is to love myself before anything else. And thankfully, by the strength of the Holy Spirit changing our hearts and giving us a new mind, a new mindset, and a new love for Him, we don't have to do that. But that's our natural tendency, is to love ourselves. And the Bible talks about how in the last days that's going to be the characteristic of people, to be just lovers of self. Also to be lovers of pleasure. The Bible talks about being lovers of the world in 1 John chapter 2. And we are not to love the world, nor the things of the world. And it's so easy to set our affections on the things of the earth rather than on things above. The Bible talks about having those who have a love of money. And that how the love of money is being the root of all evil and so on. And he talks about how we cannot serve God and money. And we can't serve God and anything else, actually. And it's Him. It must be exclusive. Our love for Him must be exclusive. And all other loves that we have, there's a lot of other things that we are to love, our wives and the love of one another and love the lost. But our love for Him should be so much more higher than any of those loves. It's almost as if He's the only one to be that exclusive in our love for Him. And obviously we can't do that on our own, but to have that love for Him, it must be exclusive. And then the last thing that I want to mention at this time is that our love must be demonstrated. It's got to be demonstrated. You remember what Delilah said to Samson is, how can you say that you love me when your heart is not with me? How did she know that his heart was not with him? It wasn't just because of his words, it was because of his actions. He wasn't really willing to share with her until he finally did. And it's the same way with our love for God. It's easy to say the words, Lord, I love you. And it's an appropriate thing to say when we really do love Him. But in Ezekiel 33, he talks about those that with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He wants more than words, doesn't he? He wants the actions behind it. He wants our heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And to have a heart for Him, because out of that heart is going to be the demonstration of what we really love in our action. And that's what He wants. He wants a real love that's demonstrated in action. And that's what we want. That's what He did for us. His love was demonstrated in action. And praise the Lord that it was. It couldn't have been demonstrated any greater than the giving of His Son for us. And of course, He wants us to give ourselves back to Him as a living sacrifice, in action, in reality, not just in word only. And so we have these restrictions that it must be with all of our heart. It must be exclusive. There's no room for love of self and of pleasure and of the world and other things. And it must be a real love, one that's demonstrated, not in word only. And so looking at not only the commands, but these restrictions should be a motivation for it to challenge our hearts. May we love Him the way He wants us to. And so let's close in prayer at this time. Our Father, we thank you so much for loving us and for demonstrating your love. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't just say you loved us, but you demonstrated your love in the giving of your own Son, even that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, may we give our lives back to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. Lord, may we truly guard and protect and keep our hearts, for out of our hearts are truly the issues of life. And so, Lord, we thank you that you love us and that we can sense and know and understand your love from your word. And Father, help us to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Help us to cling to you, to draw near to you, to truly love you. In Jesus' name, amen.